Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. We welcome you back. Nice to have you here on a beautiful day. I hope it's nice wherever you are and wherever you are listening. It's a play. You know, this is Monday, and it's time for us to have another session with one of our favorites, Dr. Martha Latz. You've all heard Dr. Latz many times on this broadcast. She's a fabulous lady. She has her own psychotherapy office. It's a unique therapy center in Boca Raton, Florida. She is a remarkable woman who we consult with quite often, and we were talking to her a week ago about Valentine's Day and what Valentine's Day was like and things you had to do to be ready for Valentine's Day and why you better not forget Valentine's Day. Today, we're going to get into it with Dr. Martha Latz about a wrap-up from Valentine's Day and what she talks about, Valentine's Day envy. Also, you're going to hear some information about Valentine's Day and this period after Valentine's Day you probably didn't know. I am surprised, but I'm excited to have her with us. So let us bring Dr. Martha Latz on the line with us now from her headquarters in Boca Raton, Florida, where it is, as usual, a beautiful, beautiful day. And say, good afternoon, Dr. Martha. How are you? Nice to have you back with us.
Good afternoon, Doug, and it's nice to be back with you. And I'm headquartered, as you said. I got a tickle out of that in South Florida, so it's wonderful. It was a long, weekend because Valentine's fell on Friday, so you had a long weekend, and here it is, Monday. Wow.
Well, you say that the days after Valentine's Day. Well, let me just ask you, what about the days after Valentine's Day? We're very beginning. I was going to ask you if that's a very busy time for your practice at a unique therapy center. What about that?
Believe it or not, yes, I'm starting to get people. I need to come in and see you. In fact, they started coming in Valentine evening. Believe it or not, people calling and wanting to come in to talk about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is one of those in-your-face type of holidays, and it just peaks out everything that has been building since Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's, and it's just, you know, and it's all relationship-driven. So, yeah, it's a busy time, definitely a busy time for me.
But why do they come in to see you at this time of the year? What's the big deal about going to have to go see someone like you, you know, a psychotherapist at Valentine's Day?
Okay, well, it holds true. The days leading up to Valentine's Day all the way through to April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, ironic enough, is the day that there's a high filing of divorce, splits in relationships, stepping away from a relationship. It really starts a real intense process at that point in time. And it's not do I stay or do I go, it's I'm gone, I'm leaving, I'm out. People's lifestyle and their relationships change drastically, and it does start the days before and peaks. Like right now, it's starting to peak. People are starting to file for divorce if they're married.
I am amazed at that. I haven't heard that information before.
Well, it's easy to look up. What? Yes.
No, I know. I've never tried to look it up. I just never thought that was this was a big period for the beginning of the end for a lot of couples. Why mm-hmm. Why do you suppose that is? I mean, why not?
Well,
why at this time of the year and not early June or early March? Why right after or right around Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, when you think about it, you know, people are in their relationships, and we're around the holidays, and people who have a rocky, their relationship is not on track the way they want it to be on track, they will stay. They will stay from, like, Thanksgiving. They'll stay, and it'll be because the holidays are coming, and I don't want to upset, and we're traveling back and forth to see family and friends, and so we don't want to be in the middle of all of that. So everybody just kind of tables and puts all of what is upsetting them in their relationships in the drawers, like a filing cabinet, and files it away until we get after Christmas, and then after Christmas, that's when people start, even if they're in relationships, they can start a cyber affair or an online affair with someone else because they're unhappy. And then they'll hang around until after Thanksgiving, and then they'll stick around until after Valentine's Day. And by that time, they're fed up because they haven't been doing any work on their relationship. So...
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
What? By the way, you use the term Valentine's envy. What is Valentine's envy? How do you describe that?
Well, Valentine's envy, you can put almost anything in front of it, but it's the envy that comes out, especially when you're hooked into your social media and you see the postings of all of the other people and your friends and all of their Valentines that they got, you know, the three dozen roses and the big box of chocolate or the new diamond or the new piece of jewelry or, oh, wow, we went out and guess what I got? I got a brand new car, you know, for Valentine's Day. Something, you know, some big grand gesture. And you see that, and you look at, well, all I got was a Valentine's. Why did they get this new handbag or something that is really, I didn't get that. Why didn't I get that? And we're hooked into it. And you know, envy has been around for a long time. They talk about it as comparison. I talk about it as envy, which ends up being comparison, or comparison that ends up being envy. It's one of those, which comes first, the chicken or the egg type of thing. So, you know, one leads into the other, and believe it or not, they started recording that type of information in 1440. That term came out. 1440.
Wow.
So you think we learned something? I don't think so. I think we're locked into it even more because of the social media that's out there, and the people are not going to post unrealistic views. They're going to post the best part of themselves, which is not really a good representation. It's, you know, this is where I am, you know, the ocean behind me, and I was on the, you know, we had a room on the beach, and this is what happened, you know. And somebody else is snowbound, you know, or it's heavily raining, and they didn't get out for Valentine's Day, and it's like, ugh. Yeah, that's human nature, I believe.
Do you think social media helps trigger this social media envy? Because,
yes.
You, as you point out, you're seeing on social media everything everybody else got, and, you know, you didn't get that. And all of a sudden, you're really upset, and you feel sorry for yourself, and that's not good.
Mm.
No, right?
I believe that social media has really triggered it to the new heights, because I will hear somebody talking about their social media and what they saw, or they were looking at their ex, and they were going on their Facebook post. I can't believe that they've already moved on and we've only been broke up for 2 months or 3 months or whatever. It's like, well, if you broke up, why are you looking at them? You know, what are you trying? What do you want to see? And they just can't tear themselves away from it. And that they're constantly looking at, oh, my gosh, they've been on this date. Oh, my goodness. We couldn't go there because either one didn't want to go there. We couldn't afford it. And now they're going there. And that just predicates more and more discontent. And then if you're in relationship and you see what other people are doing and you're not able to do that, You know, it just breeds more discontent. Why can't I afford that, or why can't we do this? So yeah, it's there and it's heavy, and I just think it just keeps the needle moving. You think about it though. Think about all the young people that post on social media and they want to be fabulous. Everything is fabulous.
Yep.
Is that reality? Yep. No, it's not. And the young people are saying, "Tell me how fabulous I am." So that I, you know, it validates me. That's kind of sad that you need to have $150,000 likes on your social media that translates in I'm fabulous and 150,000 people said so.
Right.
I grossly exaggerated that, but you know that's kind of sad too. It's out there.
I gather from what you're saying, social media really, while it can be good in many respects, it can be very harmful in other respects, can't it?
No question about it. You've got 140 characters to either get validation or get put down or get bullied or get shunned or been told you're fabulous. How can you reduce your life to 140 characters? And when did me having a relationship with my partner, I have to have relationships with all of their people on their social media to get the approval that I'm an okay partner for my partner? When did going on a date become that between two people became your whole social media network? You know?
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
I am wondering how often social media comes up in your therapeutic sessions with couples or individuals. Do they often bring it up and you think, you know, it's one of the causes, one of the reasons they're there seeing you, that they're in the midst of a breakup?
Well, yes. Portion. If that's not what brought them there, which a lot of times it is. I looked on my husband's phone or on my wife's phone, and I saw, you know, she's following or she got all this stuff. She's been looking at this person on social media, or he's been engaged. He's been talking to this person on social media. That comes up a lot of the times. But even in just a regular session that we might be working on something else, they'll talk about their social media. It comes up at least conservatively once a session. Most of the time, it's multiple times during one session. So it's there. It's part of us. Their phone is attached, and it's gotten to the point where it's like, please turn your phone off, or is your phone going to join us for session? Because the phone is still on. Yeah.
You know, you've been doing this a long time. You've been a practicing psychotherapist for over 27 years now, and providing your emotionally supportive help to individuals and their loved ones all through the years since you began. My question is, have you noticed a big difference now between the problems people have when you began your practice and what it's like now? And again, is it social media that's partially, if not partially, maybe largely responsible for much of this? Not everything, of course.
It has become multifaceted, if I can use that term, multifaceted and very complex. Because before you didn't have all of that instant connection like you do now.
That's right.
So before we could, you could hone in on it in a different way. My husband or my wife is a workaholic. They work all the time. We're not communicating really well because, they didn't have the social media as they do now, where it's instant, where you can just connect with your partner. You know, it would be through emails and things like that. But it's become very complex because also if you have children, they're also involved in their own social media. So it's like, you know, the whole life or the whole, you know, I'm, you know, well, they've got it, why can't I have it type of thing. It has caused more internal pressure. And if you don't disconnect and catch up with the real people, you're going to live out your life and your relationship through your social media. And then it's going to get really wonky, really, really wonky. I hope that answered your question.
Well, it does. And I'm prompted to ask you, what kind of advice do you give people who come in to talk to you and will during the next couple of weeks during this period when so many relationships, you know, break apart? And maybe they're suffering again from Valentine's Day envy. What kind of advice do you have for people when you really sense that's it? No question about it. They've got Valentine's Day envy. What can they do about that?
Well, I spend some time talking to them as what is in real time. You know, is this really happening, or are you getting just a small snapshot of this individual you didn't see before? They didn't take the picture that the house is really a mess and nobody's picked up, or they've got, you know, they're in the middle of doing their laundry and the kids just are in the background having a temper tantrum. They send you out this one little snapshot. And, you know, and then we talk about, were your expectations unrealistic? You know, sometimes we have this unrealistic expectation because we see things, especially in social media, but also in advertising, that this is the way it's supposed to be. I just had a conversation with a person this morning. We touched base, and I said, okay, do you think that was the real, was that real relationship? Or was that a representation of what the relationship should have been like or what they wished it was like? And we deduced that real relationships, you know, while can be fabulous, there are going to be some messy parts that people don't even post. They don't even talk about it. They just say, okay, and then you've got this idea that this relationship is just perfect. And in reality, when you look at yours, and that's what I talk to them about, in reality, they have bad parts of their relationship too, but they don't post it. It's not up there.
You know, I'm interested to know something. When a couple comes into you this time of the year and they're having really serious problems, and you sense that, you know, they're on the verge of a breakup and they're talking to you, what is your goal? The goal of a psychotherapist with that client at that time. How do you answer that? I mean, I could suggest things, but you tell me, what is your goal?
Well, my goal is can, you know, the relationship be saved, you know, but my goal is if you decide that your goal, when we talk about and we lay out all the issues. What usually happens when people are on the verge is all the issues are not on the table. You know, a lot of them are driving this decision is kept private. They haven't put it out there because they don't want to be vulnerable. A lot of people don't want to be vulnerable with their partner, which is like goes counter to what you have in a relationship. But when we get all the issues out, you know, and we can look, and, you know, and then what I'll say to them is I will help you get to your goal. But I want you to, if you're going to get to your goal and it is to split, let's make sure that everything is out there, that you're going to go forward with the split with your eyes wide open and not with, you know, questions in the back of your mind. A lot of times what will happen is when they're on the verge, and we talk about what this is, you know, the lack of intimacy or whatever. But we'll talk about, okay, what has your partner been asking for appreciation? Or has your partner been trying to connect with you in another manner that you might not have heard? So if a couple is bound and determined that they're going to split, I will aid them in splitting as amicably as they can and as truthfully as they can. Because you didn't, you know, if you have all kinds of questions left in the background and you don't know the real reality, or what really prompted this, because it's been kept in the background, there's always going to be these unanswered questions. So I try to get the questions and the issues out as quickly as possible so that they can make an informed decision and not just an emotional decision. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, your goal automatically is not to make sure they don't split, you know, to save the marriage. You want, I guess it is, to make sure that the client that you're talking to knows what they're getting into when they do this.
Right. If they come to me and say, you know what, I'm going to split, and I'm going to say, no, you're not. We're going to hold the marriage together. They'll never come back. But it's like, okay, if you're bound and determined to split, let's look at what's driving this. You know, what is really there? And if it's all out in the open and you've got a neutral party listening to this making the translation, that's loosely making the translation between the communication between the couple, then the emotion comes out and we can say, you know, gee, do I really want to do this? You know? Let's give it another try. I can't tell you how many couples will say, you know what, let's try what Dr. Latz is saying. You know, I said, just try it. Try it for a month. Try it for a couple of weeks. Come back and we'll talk. And most of the time, they have realized that they were going to it too fast for the wrong reason. But if it becomes something that they both say, I don't want this, but this is where it's going, then, okay, what can we do so that you can continue to have a relationship, especially if there's children involved, you know? And sometimes you're better parents and you're better at co-parenting when you're apart than you are together, as odd as that sounds.
From what you're saying, it sounds like these are situations where both parties, in the both members of the team have come to talk to you, not just one member or the other, but you're talking to both. And that's probably the best, isn't it?
Well, it is the best.
The married couple, both the husband and the wife together, have come to see you. Is that right?
This is true. However, it's not the only way I deal with people who have a marriage problem. A lot of times it will be one or the other that will come. I am thinking about, I've been in a long-term relationship. We've known each other. It's 15, 17 years into the relationship, or 20 or 30 years, and I not in love with my partner, and I want to talk to you about that so we can talk about it that way. And a lot of the times what's happened is it does come, and that's my whole thing, is that it comes through miscommunication. They're both, you know, both parties are wanting this to say, but the other one has dug their heels in and said, I'm not going. But so the opposite party will come in and say, you know what, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not throwing away this relationship, that this might just be a hiccup, and are there a few things that you can advise? I just had one just before Valentine's Day, and I suggested a few things. Just try to do just the normal appreciation type of things. I so appreciate, or I'm so grateful for something that you've done, or that you've said, or whatever. And just try some of that softness. And before I left, I got message that they were going off and going to have a fabulous. They were going to go off and really work on their relationships over Valentine's Day. And I got a little message that they were having a fabulous time, and that both of them want to come in when I get back,
So. I was going to say, maybe early, the weekend just ended. Do you keep a track record of the couples that you deal with who are on the verge of, maybe breaking up, and that they've saved the marriage after working with you? You know, I don't know if you call it a win-loss record or whatever. But for the most part, how does it work out mostly when you're working with people? Do they end up splitting, or do they end up finding that they should stay together? And they do. How would you answer that?
Oh gosh. No, I don't do a win-loss record or anything like that, because each couple is so unique in their situation, and
right.
each of the. So I'm not at the university, so I'm not doing the research on something like that. But what I try to do is, as I approach each individual or individual couple in relationship, is I try to listen to both of them, and 9 times out of 10, and I can say this without reservation, they're both wanting the same thing from the relationship that they're not getting, and they're both saying the same thing, but neither one is hearing the other. So I think of myself as the translator, and as I said, if they're bound and determined that they're going to split, and I've had couples that have done that, they are splitting with it, not with a whole bunch of issues. They've just realized that they've grown apart, and sometimes that happens. But a lot of the times, if they want to state that they're focused on an issue, and they're focused on the same issue, but neither one of them know how to use the skills to rectify it or open it up so that there's real authentic dialogue going on.
You know, I get the impression that very often lack of communication can really be the main problem in the breakup of couples. They just don't know how to communicate properly with each other. Is that what it comes down to often?
A lot of the times, Doug, it does. It really does. Because, you know, if I'm saying I want to spend, you know, I feel like we don't spend enough time together. Let's use that as an example. And the other person says, I think we need to spend more time together. The person who said feelings is going to focus on the feeling part of it. And the person that's on the thought will focus on the thought. They both want to spend time together. So they're both saying the same thing, and that's a real simplest example. But it's one of the best examples I can give where you can actually see it. If I'm a thinker-talker and I'm talking in thoughts, and you're a feeler-talker and you're talking in feelings, I feel sad, I feel lonely, I feel that this, we don't have enough time. You know, the thinker-talker is not going to hear the feeling, even though that you're saying the same thing. And the thinker and the feeler-talker is not going to hear the thinker because they're feeling like that the person is disengaged, they're distant, and they're cold, but they both want the same thing. And a lot of times, thinkers and feelers marry each other or get in relationship with each other. And they don't even think about it that way.
Well, and when they have an issue and they've really reached a roadblock, is psychotherapy with someone like you the best course of action for them? What else is there?
I believe that having to talk to a psychotherapist who is trained in marriage and family is a really good place to start, and being able to talk with someone who will understand the dynamics of a team or understand the dynamics of your system. Your system is your marriage. And what's going on in it, and it's not, you know, it's neither right nor wrong or good or bad. It is what it is, and and start thinking about it as a both and, not an either or.
Dr. Martha, I hate to interrupt you, but we're running out of time here, but I think that's very great advice that you're passing along there. Listen, we've run out of time for this session. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Martha Latz. Her website is auniquetherapycenter.com. She's located in Boca Raton, Florida, and she will be glad to help you if you're having Valentine envy. I didn't know there was such a thing. Dr. Martha, thanks for being with us. Talk to you next week, okay? Take care. Bye-bye for now.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Hey, I'm Doug Llewellyn. I'll see you next time, everybody. Take care of yourself. Have a great day for now. Bye-bye.